say, honor the Lord with your body by loving one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 1, if any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saint. That means there's a dispute. There's a lot of problem in the church of Corinth. Not only there's the bill regarding finance, and there's also dispute regarding, there's also division regarding whether I should follow Paul. Some others say I follow Apollos. Some others say I follow Cephas. Still another say I follow Christ. So if there's so much division and so much dispute, the church will not grow. And those people who attend the church will not be blessed. And that's why Paul talk about that. If any of you has a dispute with another, if one Christian has a dispute with another Christian, he should not take it before the ungodly for judgment. Instead, he should take it to the saint. Take it to the elders, take it to the pastor, and to handle the matter. In verse 2, do you not know that the saint will judge the world? Probably they don't know that. In verse 3, do you not know that we will judge angels? Brother and sister, I want you to know that. If you live a holy life right now, the Lord gonna make you a ruler. And you not only be able to judge the world. Judging the world, God give the authority to the saint. Only the saint has the power to judge the world, as it is recorded in Psalm 149, 4 to 5. Not 4 to 5. It's 149, verse 9. Turn to it. If you are the saint, God give you the power to carry out the sentence written against them, against the world. And this is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. So what Paul is writing in the New Testament is not something new. It come from the Old Testament. Okay? But not very many Christians know that. Not very many Christians know that if you live like a holy man on earth right now, and you are called saint, and God give you the power and authority, you not only be able to judge the world, and you'll be able to judge the angel. The angel is the fallen angel. One third of the angel are fallen. And I want you to know that. And Paul say that if you have the power and authority in the future, not now, in the future, to judge the world and to judge the angel, don't you have the power and authority to judge brother and sister right now? This is trivial thing. You know what I mean? But in at that time, they don't know that. Go back to verse 2. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Verse 3. Do you not know that we will judge angel? Angel is the fallen angel. Not now, but in the future. How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have dispute about such matter upon as judges, even men of little account in the church, I say this to shame you. It is possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers. It is the Lord teaching. According to Matthew chapter 18, if there's any dispute in the church, we should not take that dispute into the court, civil court. We should take that dispute to the leader of the church. According to Matthew chapter 18, we shouldn't do that in front of the non-Christian judge, because they will despise our belief. They will despise our Lord. So I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, all the way to 20. Let me read that to you. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Tell it to the church, they mean tell it to the pastor, tell it to the elders. You deal with it first, and then you let the church to deal with it, instead of going to the court to deal with that. This is Jesus' teaching. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, and I will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three came together in my name, there am I with them. If there's any dispute, you bring it to the church, the pastor or the elder will say that, I'm going to deal with this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst. Whatever the judgment, it is from the Lord. But they don't understand that. So I want you to write that down right beside the dispute. They don't follow Jesus' teaching. Okay? They take that thing to the court. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5. I say this to shame you. It is possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers. Of course, there are elders in the church. There are pastors in the church. Why don't they bring it to the pastor? Verse 6. But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. Verse 7, the very fact that you have lawsuit among you means you have been completely defeated already. They are not witnessing for Jesus. They are not honoring God with their own body. They dishonor God with their own body. They fight amongst one another in front of the unbeliever. And that's not right. And Paul say that. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? I want you to write that down. You know, if you just look at it, oh, rather be wrong. Why should I be wrong? Why don't you be wrong? You know what I mean? That means you write that down. Matthew. You write that down, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. If you don't want to be wronged by your brother, you want to wrong him, that means your mind is controlled by the sinful nature. The mind controlled by the sinful nature is death. The mind controlled by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. Jesus Christ himself is the one, he's been cheated, he's being wronged by his own brother. But what did he say in his first scene when he was hung on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. If you know what you are doing, you won't do that. I want you to write that down. Not only write Jesus right beside that. Not only Jesus teaching. Jesus did it himself. I also want you to write that down. New Testament. You write Jesus. And then you write Paul. Paul is the one who did that. You write that. Romans chapter 12. Let's hear how did Paul handle that situation. Well, you look at it, you know, the book of Acts chapter 20. Oh, you should start chapter 9 all the way to chapter 28. Paul was wronged by his own kinsman, but he didn't pay back. He followed the very pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read that to you, Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay any evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, especially the non-believer. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, said the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coal on his head. Burning coal on his head, that means you will cause him to repent. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is Paul's teaching, and this is what Paul has done. You write that down all the way from chapter 9 all the way to chapter 28 of the book of Acts. Look at his life. And that's how he lived, and that's how he teach. And that's exactly what Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, and he will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus. My way of life, you write down, Acts 9, all the way 28, which agree with what I teach everywhere in every church. What Paul teaching us, do not wrong your brother, do not cheat your brother. Rather be cheated, rather be wrong. But you say, well, it's tough medicine to swallow. If you don't know the consequences, then you say it is a tough thing to swallow. But if you understand God's word and understand the consequences of what you have done, you say it is very easy to do it. I want you to write that down. You write down Old Testament. Write down the name, Joseph. Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob. He was wronged by his brothers. He was cheated. He was sold as a slave by his brother. At the age of 17, and he suffered pain for 13 years. At the 11 years in his suffering, he was cheated by the cupbearer and by the chief baker of the high official of Egypt. But he did not pay back evil for evil. He waited patiently for the Lord. And you and I know that later on, he's second to the throne. Pharaoh say to him, no one is discerning as wise as you. I put you to be second in the throne. Brother and sister, if you follow the very pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to be wrong, willing to be cheated, you bear with it, just like what Paul say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, if you die with Jesus Christ, we will for sure live with Jesus Christ. Verse 12, if you endure with Jesus Christ, for sure you're going to reign with him. You write that down. Joseph is the one who reigned with Jesus Christ. You write that down. And New Testament, Paul is the one who reigned with Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, there's crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for those who are waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he say to you, imitate me, that means suffer with him, and you're going to share the glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. Then that's not a tough medicine to follow. If you don't know that, then you say, wow, it's hard to do it. But I tell you one thing. If you don't do it, you may lose your salvation. I want to go back. Take a look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happened, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. How do you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? Follow what Christ has done. I want you to write that down right beside 127. How do you live a life worthy of the calling of Christ? You write down Romans chapter 8. Verse 29 to 30. Those God foreknew, God predestined. Predestined, that is God's idea. When he call you, he can sign a contract with you. He want you to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among all his brothers. Every one of us has to follow Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Because this is God's idea. Those God foreknew, God will predestine. Those God predestined, God called. Those God called, God justified. Those God justified, God glorified. He called you to follow the example of Jesus Christ, and he's going to reward you with glory. Chapter 2, verse 7 in 1 Corinthians, we have been destined before time began to receive the glory of the Lord. But first come the suffering, then come the reward. What if I refuse to do it? Well, let's hear. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. I want you to circle the word, stand firm in one spirit. That spirit is not a small letter. Stand firm in one spirit means, I want you to write that down, means 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 7. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Is a capital letter S, not a small letter S. Stand firm with one spirit. That means you united yourself with our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he say, you do it. That is what it really mean by unite yourself with the Lord in spirit, in one spirit. Okay? Now go back. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Contending as one man. This one man is like Jesus Christ. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is the sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. I say that one more time. If you're willing to be wrong, willing to be cheated, you'll be saved. Those who wrong you, those who cheat you, he may lose his life. You not only be saved by God, you'll be rewarded by God with glory. Am I right? Because you share Jesus' suffering, you're going to share in his glory. Chapter 8, verse 17 of Book of Romans. Now go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 8. Instead, you yourself cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brother. You do this to your brother, and then Paul say that in verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked people is the one who cheat? The wicked people is the one who do wrong? Do you not know that the wicked people will not inherit the kingdom of God? I want to circle the word the wicked. And then you circle the word in verse 10, swindler. You cheat people with the money. It's around 8 to 9 years ago. There's a person called Bernie Madoff. He has a Ponzi scheme in Wall Street. He cheated a lot of his close friends and associates. And he was locked up in prison for 150 years. That means in his old age, he will never be able to discharge from the prison. And later on, his son hanged himself. Later on, his another son has cancer and died. And later on, and his wife deserted him. If you are a swindler, you cheat other people with money, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But if you are willing to be wrong, to be cheated, and you let God wait for God to judge, for God's sake, it is I to judge. Do not repay evil with evil. You just do what Jesus said. Leave room for God's wrath, and he will help you. Just like Joseph. Leave room for God's wrath. At the 11 years of his suffering, he met the cupbearer and the chief baker, and they cheated him too. But he let go. And the Lord knows everything. The Bible says in verse 39, the Lord is with Joseph. Brother and sister, A person cannot do things like that unless the Lord is with Joseph. Because he united himself with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's one in spirit with Jesus Christ. He's so filled with the Holy Spirit. And he did things by the Holy Spirit. Just like Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, live by the Spirit and keep in step by the Spirit. You not only get reward right now, you get reward in the future. And I know for sure, I will see Joseph sit on the throne and his brother in Genesis chapter 15, knowing that this is my younger brother, and they bow down before him. This is exactly the same teaching in New Testament. The sixth church, Philadelphia. If you preach the gospel and suffer pain, those people who cheated you and wronged you, they all will bow down before you and ask you for forgiveness. Don't you know that you have the power and authority to judge the world and to judge the fallen angel? Not now, in the future. Everybody say? So it's not a tough medicine to swallow, right? Not doing it, you may be destroyed by God, just like Bernie Madoff family. And God being very merciful to Bernie Madoff, he's still alive in prison. He can think it through. He still can repent and enter the kingdom of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral. The sexual immoral, you write down chapter 5, verse 1. There is sexual immorality among you. You write that down. Chapter 5, verse 1. Neither the sexual immoral is the one that who has his father's wife. Unless he turn around and repent, he will not enter the kingdom of God. Nor adulterer, nor male prostitute, nor homosexual offender, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor the slanderer, nor the swindler. The swindler, you write it down, chapter 6, verse 1, all the way to verse 8. Swindler will not inherit the kingdom of God because he wronged people, he cheated people. He shouldn't do that. He will suffer the pain. But if he repent, yes, he can do it. Verse 11, and that is what some of you were. In other words, Paul said that you were like that. Some of you were, right beside some of you were, you write down Romans chapter 9, verse 12. Some of you were swindler. But now, you should be the same. Your life should be changed. Because when you were a swindler, you are object of God's wrath. But now, our life has been changed. We are object of God's mercy. Prepare in advance for glory. If you are the object of God's wrath, you prepare for destruction. That's why Paul said that, I will send Timothy to you. He will tell you my way of life, which in agree with my teaching in everywhere. Whatever Paul said, he has written 13 books. He said the same thing. And that's why he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship after you are saved. Prepare in advance to do good work, which God prepared in advance for you to do. He allows someone to wrong you. He allows someone to cheat you. In all things, we know that God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. God allowed Joseph to be wrong, to be cheated, so as to save his brother. In Genesis chapter 50, and Joseph forgave his brother. You are the one who wronged me, but it is God who allowed it to happen, so that I be exalted. Brother and sister, if you being wrong, that means there's an opportunity for you to inherit the kingdom of God for sure, because you can live a godly life. Prove yourself to be holy. Everybody say? Don't just read the Bible and then say, wow, it's very tough to do. And then ignore that. And then pay back evil for evil. So, what's the positive way of doing it? You write that down, the first portion. You write that down, 1 John. What is God's command? 3:23a. God's command is to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And then what's the second part? B. According to the Lord's command, to love one another. Don't do wrong for wrong, evil for evil. You disobey God's command. How can you get God's blessing? You suffer for him. He's going to reward you. According to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, you are in prison. You're bound by the word of God. You're bound by the love that Jesus has for you. Then Jesus say, I'm going to give you a double portion. I will reward you. Those people who did not have the word of God, they can do whatever they like. That's why Paul say, everything is permissible to me, but not everything is beneficial. You wrong other people, you can do that. If you want to do it, you go ahead and do it. But you don't get the blessing, man. Blessing from God. Because you don't leave room for him. And God say, it is mine to judge, not you. You'll be able to judge, not now, in the future. I want to jump to the second part. Verse 11, and that is what some of you were. That means some of you were object of God's wrath, prepared for destruction. That's what we were, but now totally different. But now you were washed, you were sanctified, you were forgiven, you were justified, you were shown mercy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by confessing your sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, and Jesus Christ forgave you. If Jesus Christ forgave your sin, should you forgive those who cheat you and who wrong you? We should. In the Lord's Prayer, the Lord say, Father, forgive our wrongdoing as we have forgiven others who have wronged against me. Write down Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 18, if someone sins against you, you don't forgive him, he will not forgive you either. Take a look at what Paul teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. People sins against Paul. When Paul was locked up in the prison, nobody tried to help him. Everybody deserted him. And Paul say that, Father, forgive them. Do not hold it against them. because we are God's workmanship, prepared in advance to do good work, which God prepared in advance for you to do it. He knows he's going to receive the crown of righteousness. He knows, chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, although people forsake him, but the Lord is with him. Write down Genesis chapter 39. All his brother, Joseph's brother, forsake him, sold him to the Pontifus in Egypt. But the Bible say, the Lord is with him. Turn to it, Genesis chapter 39. When you do the right thing and willing to suffer pain, you write that down. 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph. Chapter 39, verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. And right beside that, because Paul followed the pattern of Joseph, follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. Write down 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 all the way to 18. Hear what Paul said. At my first defense, no one came to my support. That means they wronged against Paul. But everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. He forgave. Just like Psalm, King David said, Psalm 86:5, the Lord is good and forgiving, abounding in love to those who call on his name. When you forgive others, you cry out to God, God answer your prayer. Because the Lord is with you. You pay back evil for evil, the Lord is not with you. You are not in one spirit with Christ. You do not unite yourself with Jesus Christ. Let's hear what Paul says. When everybody deserted him, and then he prayed for forgiveness, may it not be held against them. Verse 17. But the Lord stood at my side. The Lord was with me. Just like Genesis chapter 39:2, 39:12. Hey? 39:21? 39:2, right? I'm not waked up. I'm still sleeping. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Gave me strength right beside. Gave me strength. You write down 4:13, Philippians. I can do all things through him who gave me strength. When the Lord was with you, you can do what God wants you to do. Because you united yourself with Jesus Christ, you are one with him in spirit. He's going to empower you to do the thing that you cannot do. And then he's going to reward you. When he rewards you, you're going to boast, not going to boast about yourself, what you can do. You're going to boast in the Lord. You're going to boast the cross of Christ because he enabled you to do it. The Lord gave me strength to do it so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles may hear. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth, just like Daniel. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What Paul trying to teach us is follow me as I follow Christ. That's what he's trying to say. willing to be wronged by your brothers, willing to be cheated by your brothers. Like Joseph, like Jesus, like Paul, and persevere in your suffering, and rejoice in your hope, and continue in your prayer. Keep praying to God and ask God to help you. Go to 13. Paul gives an illustration. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. The body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and God will raise us also from the dead. As far as food and stomach is concerned, God will destroy it. That means it has no everlasting value. But your body, he's going to build up, he's going to raise you up, has lasting value. Because don't you know that your body are the members of Jesus Christ? Don't you know that your body is the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit that you receive from God dwells within your body? So that's why Paul said that in conclusion. Honor God with your body. Number one, willing to be cheated, willing to be wrong. Do not pay back evil with your body. Let go. Let your body be controlled by the Holy Spirit. There's life and peace. And there's reward too. And for sure, you will receive salvation from God. For sure, you have the power and authority to judge the world. Those people who wrong you, he's going to bow down before you and to be judged by you. This is not only the Old Testament teaching in Genesis chapter 50. This is also the New Testament teaching, Revelation chapter 3. Brother and sister, we're going to reign with Jesus Christ, not only for 1,000 years in millennium kingdom. Chapter 20, verse 6, Revelation. For 1,000 years as priest and as king with Jesus Christ. Chapter 22, Revelation, verse 5. We're going to reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. This pain, being wronged and cheated, is temporary, is light. So that you have the opportunity to receive heavy stuff, good stuff, richly be rewarded by God. Now go back. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies a member of Christ himself? Shall I then take the member of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who united himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who united himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Brother and sister, you want to receive the blessing like Joseph, like Jesus, like Paul, you have to unite yourself with Jesus Christ in one spirit. Then he can empower you to do what you cannot do. Just like what Paul said, he gave me strength. I can do all things through him. He gave me strength. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commit are outside his body, But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. If you sins against your own body, that means you sins against the member of Christ. You sins against the member of Christ, that means you sins against the church, you sins against God. Don't you know 3:16 to 17, 1 Corinthians? Anyone who sins against the church, against the body, anyone who destroys the body will be destroyed by God. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and God's spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple by cheating one another, by wronging one another, by committing adultery, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Chapter 6. Verse 18. All other sins a man commit are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. What does it mean by you are not your own? When you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you let your body to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You write down Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, we should keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We don't belong to our own. We belong to Jesus Christ, because you were bought. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And Paul say the same thing. Honor God with your body. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. My dear brother, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, to live for Jesus. Do not follow the pattern of this world, wrong for wrong, teeth for teeth, eye for eye, but willing to be wrong so as to glorify God and suffer the pain and ask God for reward in the future. Am I right? And then you will know God's will in your life. It's good, pleasing, and perfect, because he can reward you in due time. Don't be a nearsight. Don't be blinded. Only see what is in front. Oh, I suffer so much pain. You suffer that pain. It's for your own good. Not everything is permissible. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. You wrong other people, you didn't get bad blessing. You don't get blessing. It's lose-lose. Everything is permissible for me, Paul said that, but I will not allow myself to be mastered by anything. I only allow myself to be mastered by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he united himself with Jesus. He's one in spirit with Jesus. He's as one man. That man is the new man, according to Ephesians. That new man is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Both the Gentile believer and the Jewish believer, no more hostility, because they united themselves in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you, how you give strength to Paul and Joseph, can finish the task that you have assigned them to do. And that's why he can say, I have fought the good fight, I have run the good race, and I have kept the faith. And there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for those who yearn for the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the wise virgin who prepared themselves, ready to see our Lord Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, bless each and every one of us. Help us not to say no to Jesus, but help us to say no to Satan so that we can finish our task in our life and waiting for your second coming, waiting to receive praise and honor and glory from you. Those people who seek righteousness and love, pursue righteousness and love, will find life, prosperity, righteousness, and honor. When we honor you, you're going to honor us. When we love you, you're going to love us. And I pray you help us to remember that. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So